It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
That seems to me like government is establishing a religion.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
If you give people rights, women's rights, gay rights, whatever, there can't be equal rights if there's special rights.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Surveys show that people still really prefer freedom versus force.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We are an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people to do it. And my friends, it's never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, their livelihood, via force, whether it's with a weapon, policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, fear, coercion, or the latest silent thief, which is government-induced inflation. So welcome. I get to work with a really great team, and that is producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Jen, Charlie, all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Happy Tuesday to you, producer Steve.
Thank you, and back at you.
And thank you to all of you listeners as well. You're each treasured, you're valued, you have purpose. Today, strive for excellence, take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. You were made for this moment. Live with intention. And we're preparing for the next legislative session, which opens next week. And I'm looking at this with trepidation. I would hope that the radical activist Democrats that now control the Democrat Party and actually control Colorado, they have the trifecta, they have the Senate, they have the House, they have the governorship, and of course the governor appoints judges as well. So we're in quite a time here in Colorado, and one would hope that there might be some tapping on the brakes of really bad legislation, but I'm not sure that's going to be the case. And Mr. King Polis, who's trying to paint himself as a libertarian, I'm wondering if he's going to tap the brakes or what that's going to look like, producer Steve.
Well, I was just thinking, you talked about the situation here in Colorado. I said, well, it's almost mirror image of what we have back in Washington. But I got a chuckle out of your, are they going to tap the brakes? And I said, come the midterms, they're not just going to tap the brakes. They're going to lock them up.
Yeah, I think that that's true because through this whole COVID-19 Wuhan China virus reaction disruption, the 2020 election, and all these questions about election integrity, I think then the wheels seem to be coming off the bus on the whole COVID vaccine narrative. I think that you're right. I think that they may put the pedal to the metal. And we've seen that with the Biden administration in the last year. And it's not been quite a year since he has been inaugurated. What has happened in our country is, Steve, when I say the word remarkable, there's a lot of other words that's going around in my brain, but it is remarkable the destruction to the American idea, to American security, to jobs, to just look at the price of gas, the price of energy has gone up significantly. The recent jobs report was dismal. I think it was 199,000 new jobs. What the destruction that seems to be their mantra is it's rather remarkable, Steve.
Well, they're coy. They're good actors, I guess, avoiding coming out and saying what their real agenda is. But if words versus actions versus words, there can't be any other conclusion.
No, there can't. And what is so frustrating, Steve, particularly here in Colorado, is that we are seeing that Republicans really have become complicit in all of this. And I'm just looking, I received a copy of an invitation here, and I think there's some really well-meaning people that are putting this together. It's a Senate Majority Fund, and it is it's a reception on Thursday, January 20th, to talk about, I think, reclaiming the Senate here in Colorado for Republicans, which, boy, that is super, super important. But as I look at, for example, the Finance Committee, the head of the Finance Committee is former Governor Bill Owens. And Bill Owens had his name all over this Prop 119, which was that new marijuana tax for the children. And if you look at this, a number of the people on this list did have their names on that. And yes, that was defeated. It was run, the campaign was run by Josh Pinry and one of his companies. They received over $3 million. Most of that came from a leftist organization. But Republicans then put their name on that. And if you remember, Steve, when we talked with Adam Angieski with Open the Books, and I was describing, I think it was actually on Election Day, what Prop 119 was it was a new authority. It would be taxing authority of retail marijuana. It would have increased the taxes significantly. And it would have put in place a board that would govern this authority. This board would be appointed by this governor. The board would choose their replacements. They had taxing powers. They could take gifts from other governmental entities, from nonprofits, from individuals. And it was not accountable to the people, to the legislature, or to the Board of Education. And quote unquote, this was supposedly, yes, a new marijuana tax for children. And when we mentioned that to Adam, he said, this is what the Democrats now, this is the Democrat Party now that's been controlled by these radical activists. They want to put in place a permanent government. And when I look at the fact that we have Republicans that will not stand against this, this is antithetical to the American idea. And then I look at this event, and it's kind of right this morning, it's on kind of deaf ears with me right now, because it's like, do we want to elect Democrats that are pedal to the metal to destroy us, or do we want to elect Republicans that won't stand against that, and it'll just take a little bit longer? Super frustrated on it, Steve.
Well, does the term rhino come to mind?
It does. It does. And Republican in name only. And when we talk about Republican, and you and I, in our pre-call, we were having a conversation regarding the word conservative. Of course, the word conservative has been vilified. And except if you want to conserve energy or conserve water or conserve, you know, through the environmentalist, then it's a good word. But if you are a conservative who wants to preserve this idea of America that all men are created equal, then can you say critical race theory? Last night I was at the Tapas and Topics up in Windsor, the Fort Collins group. And Kane, you may remember, we had him on the show, everyday guy. And he prefers to be called a Negro. And he went through why he prefers that. But he has taken critical race theory. And he says we need to fight back on this, because what they are trying to do is to divide our country. They're saying to little white kids that because of your color, you are privileged, you are an oppressor. And they are saying to little black kids that because you're black, you are a victim. And he's very fervent on that. I want to get him back on the show. But it's everyday people that want to conserve this idea that all men are created equal with these rights from God of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And that can't happen when you have politicians that want to pick winners and losers and don't want to play by the rules of the Constitution, Steve.
All this, it defies description. And I think of people like Martin Luther King, Candace Owens, Ben Carson, Denzel Washington. How did these people rise to the level in life that they did, you know, both present and past, if they were truly that badly oppressed? How did they do it?
Well, and not that things didn't happen in their lives, but things happen in every person's life. that we have to rise above that. We need to have the perseverance to push through. And if we were in a country where their narrative was true, that that black people are victims and white people are oppressors, then just tell me, why is it that we have all these black and brown people that are trying to get into America on the southern border? Why is that? If the narrative of the Democrats was true, then this would not be occurring. And so as we look at politicians on both sides of the aisle that use this narrative to push forward their power, and there's two things I wanted to mention. Patty had this on the headline a while back, but Nancy Pelosi, apparently she and her husband made $30 million, a lot of it in call options regarding many of these companies that benefited from the federal government's policies on the coronavirus. And it's not illegal. What's interesting is it's not illegal. There's a law that says that they can do that. But just because it says it's a law, there's no way that that can be constitutional in my mind, Steve. And the reason it cannot be constitutional is because it picks winners and losers. It says they can do it, but somebody else can't.
I sent you something yesterday regarding that act. What was the name of it?
I don't remember what it was.
But I think in the picture that accompanied the article, it was Obama signing it and Biden standing next to him and four or five, maybe six politicians standing around the table watching him. Everybody was grinning ear to ear. Do we know now why they were smiling?
Well, true that, because basically it makes it legalized
insider trading.
Yeah, legalized insider trading. And I got to see if I can find the headline that Patty had here. Yeah, this was from the Washington Post, if you can believe it.
No.
It says the Fed vice chair to resign over stock trading controversy. Richard Clarida, the Federal Reserve's vice chair, announced Monday that he will resign following more revelations of his stock trading at the beginning of the coronavirus pandemic. Clarida, whose term as the Fed's second in command was to expire at the end of the month, sent a letter to President Biden on Monday saying he would resign January 14th. He's the third Fed official in recent months to resign over questionable trades during the pandemic as the Fed began its tremendous intervention to support the financial system. These trades are now under review by an inspector general. And so I think that that will take us to our quote for today, which let me get to that. This is by H.L. Mencken. He was an American journalist, essayist, satirist, cultural critic, and scholar of American English. He commented widely on the social scene, literature, music, prominent politicians, and contemporary moments or movements. And his satirical reporting on the Scopes trial, which he dubbed the Monkey Trial, also gained him attention. He was born in 1880. He died in 1956. And he said, no professional politician is ever actually in favor of public economy. It is his implacable enemy, and he knows it. All professional politicians, I should say, and she knows it. All professional politicians are dedicated wholeheartedly to waste and corruption. They are enemies of every decent man. And, Steve, that's on both sides of the aisle.
Wow. Did he nail that one? Hit it out of the park.
He really did. A couple of things before we get to break. This is our Health and Hydrocarbons show, and our guest for segments 3 and 4 will blow your socks off. She's a nurse up in Canada, and she has founded a group called Nurses for Sustainable Care. And she's asked the question about what would the operating room look like if we did not have hydrocarbons. And hydrocarbons, efficient, affordable, reliable, and abundant energy is what has really powered everyday people's lives to be able to pursue their hopes and dreams. And so that's going to be super interesting. And just a couple of things before we get into break. First of all, we're in football season, the playoffs. Last night was the college championships. And, of course, a great place to watch all these games is Hooters Restaurants. And they have lunch specials. They have happy hour specials. And, of course, they have all the TVs for all of these games. But congratulations to the Georgia Bulldogs. They defeated Alabama. Someone told me it was going to be a battle. And when I got home last night, I turned it on, and now I can't remember who was ahead, but it was 19-18. I thought, oh my gosh, this is a battle. And then Georgia, and we're getting late in the game, Georgia scored. And then Alabama was coming back, and I think there was an interception. I was working on our summary, and so the score does not really reflect what a well-played game that was. But congratulations to the Georgia Bulldogs on that, Steve.
Yeah, final was 33-18.
Right, and that 33, those last points were scored in the last few minutes. And then also wanted to mention that Ed Perlmutter, Representative Perlmutter, congressman here from Colorado, has decided not to run for re-election, which is super interesting.
It goes back to that tapping the brakes thing again. Does he see the writing on the wall?
I wonder. And so Eric Odland, who was running for Senate, had actually already made the decision to move over to this CD7 congressional race. And he'd already reached out to be scheduled on the show. So I think he's our guest on Thursday. Laurel Eimer also is running for that seat. And she reached out and wants to get on the show as well, which I will get her on. Any candidate that wants to get on the show, I will put them on, because I think it's important that you, the listener, be able to hear what they have to say than just more than sound bites. And so we will get her scheduled as well. So, yes, Ed Perlmutter is not. I think this really does open up a possibility that Republicans may be able to win that seat, Steve. And I think that's pretty exciting.
That one and many others. I mean, there's not a week goes by we don't see Fox News or any of the other sources, a currently sitting member of the House of Representatives is not going to run again.
Yeah.
And, well, let me rephrase that. A currently seated Democrat. Member of
Democrat.
The House of Reps. Yeah.
Right. With that, though, my friends, we have really, as the grassroots, what we've seen in Colorado is, and I don't know what the term, it's been called the establishment. But when you take a look at many of the names, not all of them, there's some really good folks on there as well. But this event for the Senate Majority Fund, Bill Owens had his name on that Prop 119, that new marijuana tax for the children. Senator Bob Gardner had his name on there as well. And interestingly enough, we did put a lot of pressure to try to get some of these really good folks off that endorsement page for Prop 119. And that endorsement page did actually come down. But actually, Bill Owens and Bob Gardner kept his name on there. And Josh Penry was running that campaign, Republican strategist, who was actually, this was funded primarily with leftist money on that. And one of Josh's employees was, in fact, the person of record for that. So we've got our work cut out for us here in Colorado, because we need to make sure that we elect people that do believe in this American idea that all are created equal with rights from God of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And we need to reclaim Colorado for what Colorado really was. I want to go to break. When we come back, we will be talking with, at the bottom of the hour, we'll talk with Ann Jordan. Stay tuned. This is our Health and Hydrocarbons show. We'll be right back.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support us. I greatly appreciate this. This is our Health and Hydrocarbon Show today. We'll be talking with Ann Jordan, fascinating woman. She's a nurse up in Canada. And we're going to be talking about the importance of hydrocarbons in the operating room. This show is brought to you by Laramie Energy as well as Caris Oil and Gas, and certainly thank them for that. Steve and I wanted to talk. Well, actually, before we do that, I wanted to also give a shout out to Kirsch Insurance Group, another great sponsor of the show. And they are specialists in the Medicare arena, and they can help you with your Medicare plan. They work with many different carriers. So that means that they can find what is best for you. And we're in an open enrollment period right now to you can change your Medicare Advantage plan. If you're going to turn 65 this year, you need to reach out to them to find out what you need to do. Their website is iKirsch. That's iKirsch.com. That's iKirsch.com. Now, Steve, before we get to the sound bites that you had pulled, is we have laws in America, in Colorado, on the local level. We have laws that they are laws, but I would say that they're not constitutional. But we as Americans are law-abiding citizens. And so it's taken us a long time to figure out that we have people that are passing laws, as we just talked about, Pelosi. They passed a law that it's okay for Congressmen and women and senators to do insider trading, but everyday people can't do that. We need to make sure that we have laws that are applicable to everybody. But one of the things that Schumer is trying to do, and there's big pressure, is to change our voting laws here in America. And if that happens, I tell you what, it looks like it may be game over for this American idea. And so what he's doing is thinking about messing around with the filibuster. I was unhappy with the Republicans when they were actually, what, this was 2005, indicating that the changes on the filibuster. But anyway, give us our, kind of set this up for us, Steve.
Well, like you said, it's 2005, and I believe when you hear what he's referring to, there was must have been issues on voting in judges. And it went to the Senate, and they got in a deadlock situation. And I guess now, in this situation, the Republicans were threatening to do away with the filibuster or to, you know, suppress it. Mm-hmm. So this is, if you're ready for it, this is Chuck Schumer's response.
The bottom line is very simple. The ideologues in the Senate want to turn what the Founding Fathers called the cooling saucer of democracy into the rubber stamp of dictatorship. We will not let them. They want, because they can't get their way on every judge, to change the rules in midstream, to wash away 200 years of history. They want to make this country into a banana republic, where if you don't get your way, you change the rules. Are we going to let them?
No!
It'll be a doomsday for democracy if we do.
So listen to that rhetoric, heated rhetoric, that he was using all the way through that.
True. And then just recently, what did he have to say about changing the filibuster?
Well, again, you set it up well. They're in really hot to trot to get this new voter legislation put through. Well, the feds want to take over voting, say the states can't be trusted. Now he wants to overdo, you know, now it's his turn to say we're not going to, you know, live by the filibuster rules. Here it is.
As I said in my dear colleague earlier this week, if Republicans continue to hijack the rules of the chamber to prevent us from protecting our democracy, then the Senate will debate and consider changes to the rules on or before January 17th, Martin Luther King Jr. Day. As we hold this debate, I ask my colleagues to consider this question. If the right to vote is the cornerstone of our democracy, then how can Democrats permit a situation in which Republicans can pass voter suppression laws at the state level with only a simple majority vote, but not allow the United States Senate to do the same? This asymmetry cannot hold. If Senate Republicans continue to abuse the filibuster to prevent this body from acting, then I would plead with the Senate, particularly my colleagues on this side of the aisle, to adapt. And we must adapt for the sake of our democracy so we can pass the legislation I talked about earlier.
There you go.
Well,
as I said in my dear colleague earlier this week,
And did you hear throughout that he used the term our democracy? Yesterday when we had Rob Nadelson on, he had actually had written a piece that was in the Epoch Times regarding the use of our democracy by the radical activist Democrat ideologues that are trying to change our voting laws. And when they talk about voter suppression, what they want is that anybody can vote. People that are here illegally can vote. People can vote multiple times. People that are dead that can vote. We need to clean up our voters' rolls. The founders had that the states are to run their elections. This is unconstitutional, what Schumer and company are trying to have happen, at least in my opinion. And it is unconstitutional. And the fact that, again, that he's trying to change the filibuster is just of tremendous concern to us. But let's jump over here. Kimberly Bell is on the line with us. She's another great sponsor of the show. She's an entrepreneur. She's the owner of Kunjani Coffee. And Kimberly Bell, I love Kunjani Coffee. As you know, I have a number of meetings there. It's always great to see you and your team there, Kim.
I love seeing you guys. Thanks so much for supporting us.
Most definitely. And as we were preparing for today, you've got a very interesting tidbit, kind of a statistic that I think people will find very interesting.
Yes. When I read this, I was amazed, too. It's 400 million cups of coffee are consumed each day in America. 400 million. Daily. Well, that's daily.
And I certainly do my part on that. And I was making my coffee at home the other day, Kimberly, and I was thinking about America, the American idea, capitalism. And I remember, I can't remember where it was at exactly, but I was someplace and they were talking about the Folgers estate there. And I was thinking about it. Folgers Coffee, we grew up with all of those different advertisements. And capitalism is if somebody comes up with an idea that enhances other people's lives, either a product or service, and there's the free exchange of capital for that value for value. And if somebody comes up with an idea that a lot of people really appreciate and will trade their value for value, people become rich. And that's what happened with Folgers Coffee. And I was just thinking about that, how the American idea is so great. And then people can become very wealthy because of their hard work and their product. What's your thoughts on that, Kimberly?
I think that whatever you can create, really, it's about creativity, because I'm a musician. So you come up with an idea. I mean, if we could just have a moment for looking at all the ideas in America and really all over the world and how they have transpired. I mean, I just went out and I bought a cafe. It was already built, but I know how to streamline businesses. And so I just put that mechanism in there and then learned a lot about coffee. And if you're stopped from doing anything like that, I mean, you want to start a band, you want to go open a hairstyling company, you want to do teaching, whatever. You can't stop that creativity.
And with that, though, rules and regulations by government is one of the things that can stifle creativity. And that is why we need to reduce rules and regulations, reduce taxes so that everyday people can have more money in their pocket. And then we need to, I'm very frustrated with what I've seen, these different economic development offices. They have them in local levels, county levels, the state level. In fact, Jared Polis just appointed Walker Stapleton, former gubernatorial Republican candidate for governor, to the State Economic Development Commission. And what these economic development commissions do is they pick winners and losers. They say to one business, oh, if you come to Colorado or if you come to our city or our county, you will not have to adhere to maybe all of these different rules and regulations, or you may get a break on your taxes, or, you know, fill in the blank. Well, that is blatantly mm-hmm. picking winners and losers. And for little right. everyday businesses, heck, if the rules and regulations and taxes were lowered on every little business like yours, Kimberly, that would really, I think, make our economy thrive more. So I've always argued that we don't need these economic development offices. What we need to do is reduce rules, regulations, and taxes and unleash the power and creativity of everyday entrepreneurs like you, Kimberly Bell.
Yes, we don't need any segregation at all. In fact, if I just had to pay one tax, I would do very well and I would have opened up more shops. I have to pay like five different taxes, and so that's a lot of coffee.
A lot of burritos. That is a lot of coffee. And when I was in there the other day, I don't know who it was, but you said that there was somebody that listens to the show that was from Colorado Springs that had come in to get a cup of coffee. So to whoever you are out there, thank you. Yeah. I so appreciate that. So Kimberly Bell. Yeah, I so appreciate you being a sponsor of the show. You guys are located on the northwest corner, back behind the RTD parking lot there, on the northwest corner of Lincoln and Jordan in Parker. And it is a special little place. You've got a fireplace, and, mm-hmm. and I can just tell all the personal touches there. So, Kimberly Bell, thank you so much. Any final thoughts you'd like to leave with our listeners this morning?
Just come on by and try. We just got two new espresso machines. And if you didn't like espresso before, you will love it. It's very creamy, and it's okay. not bitter at all.
I'll have to try that. I think I'm going to be out there on Friday, so I'll try that. So Kimberly Bell, Kajani Coffee, thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. And we're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Ann Jordan. She is the founder of Nurses for Sustainable Care. We'll talk about how important hydrocarbons are in the operating room. Stay tuned.
Three Points Financial is a fiduciary financial planning company focused on helping individuals and families. Mary Alpers and Steve Kruse at Three Points Financial specialize in investment strategies, tax planning and preparation, and retirement planning with no product sales or commissions. Tax laws have changed and will continue to change. Inflation is real. Three Points Financial helps you maneuver through these changes to achieve your financial success. For clarity and a solid, relevant financial and investment plan, while working with a company that puts your interests at the forefront, schedule a no-obligation initial consultation at threepointsfinancial.com. That's threepointsfinancial.com.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute, to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. And thank you to each and every one of you who support us. We are an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. This is our health and hydrocarbon show. An abundant, efficient, affordable, and reliable energy has really powered everyday people's lives to thrive and prosper. There has been an assault on the hydrocarbons industry, particularly here in Colorado from a public policy standpoint. And so really pleased to have on the line with me Ann Jordan. She is the founder of Nurses for Sustainable Care. And Ann, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim.
It's great to have you. And Ann, as I did the promo, I wrote the copy for the promo that ran yesterday for the show. I said, the miracles of modern surgery, a new knee, a new hip, life-saving surgery for a premature baby, surgery to cut out a cancerous tumor, or surgery to repair a body from a horrific car accident. Would these be possible, Ann, without fossil fuels?
I love your very bold examples. It created some great visuals for me. I absolutely don't believe so. I did a presentation in Vegas, which is how I connected with you, about is this reasonable to talk about moving very quickly away from fossil fuels? I hear a lot of conversation in my academic circles and have for quite some time now, at least a decade or more, talking about climate change as a driver and a determinant of health, that we need to move to green energy and alternative supply because we're running out of dirty oil and, you know, dirty energy supply. We need to get away from the non-renewables to go to renewables. And I just started to ask some questions. And I'm here not as an expert, but somebody who has a lot of questions about what's going on, because my everyday experience certainly doesn't point to being able to do that. I'm here north of the 49, and in our cold climate, we're not going to be running any of our hospitals on solar panels, wind power, and I'm not against any of these energy supplies. I'm very interested in the research and development going on to look at other sources of energy, but I don't feel that we're ready to just take this big, giant leap, especially when you talk about things like surgery and life, critically dependent, life-saving, by the second, if you're in the middle of brain or cardiac surgery, seconds matter. You can't be off ventilation and any of the life-supportive devices, equipment, medication. We're just not there yet. So I do like having these conversations because I want people to stop and think and put a bit of a pause in this dramatic alarmism that's being promoted everywhere.
Well, and Anne, you're talking about having energy that powers the hospital. And out in California, now you're up in Canada, but out in California, mm-hmm. because of their energy policy out there, they have had rolling blackouts. So, of course, then hospitals, and they always should have a backup generator, but right. to have rolling blackouts because of public policy is a real problem.
Absolutely. The energy electrical grid is still primarily powered by fossil fuels. So that reliability is so, so critical, that availability of power and heating, that difference. In Texas, you've had these massive power outages, and that was a great example of hospitals having to go back to relying on diesel generators and those same old fossil fuel dependent systems, especially during cold climates. Right now, there's I just read an article about electrical cars not working here in Canada, and people complaining about their heating systems not working. These aren't reliable energy sources yet for us, and so especially in healthcare, we're not there yet.
Well, and let's also talk about the operating room. A lot of people don't realize all of the products that are petroleum-based or have petroleum products in them. I mean, you just look around your clothing. In fact, many of the outdoor companies that actually have been attacking fossil fuels, their products are actually petroleum-based. I find that so kind of crazy.
It's an interesting disconnect somewhere in while using everything that we use for technological advancement are all fossil fuel and grid dependent. So if we want to do better and more and move towards advancements and improving quality of life, we can't move away from those things that are entirely dependent on that. And it's, you know, I don't want to go as far as saying it's hypocritical. I do think people haven't thought it through. And, you know, when you start discussing weather-dependent systems and climate, it's very far removed. When it becomes applicable to your life, and when you're in the middle of, you know, a winter storm, when you don't have enough dispatchable energy, when it affects you personally and your quality of life is impacted, I do think people start to reconsider some of these beliefs they have and this ideal of having very green utopian lifestyle. You can't. I mean, everywhere you look at, from what we wear to what we use, me talking to you right now would not be possible without cell phone, digital technology, my smartphone entirely, you know, hydrocarbon, fossil fuel derivatives dependent. So people need to actually create some pictures in, can you live without all of these things created from these fossil fuels? It improves quality of life. So, you know, unless you want to go back to in the forest naked and, you know, rubbing sticks to make fire, we need to stop, pause, and do this correctly if we want to look at new systems.
Well, and speaking of fire, of course, we just had this horrific fire here in Colorado up in Boulder County. Mm-hmm. And part of it is because it's been very dry. We are in Colorado. We're part of the high desert. And so we do have very dry periods. But also some of the forest fires, for example, out in California here in Colorado, other fires, not this particular one. I don't think that we've truly managed our forests the way we should, and that when you get a whole bunch of a dry time and a whole bunch of fuel for a fire, you're going to have fires, and they're going to be more intense. But the point I wanted to make is we had times out here in Colorado that the forest fires from California, the smoke from that, made it very difficult for people that might have challenges breathing, that were on oxygen, where they couldn't go out because of that. And so if we go back to fires to warm us instead of hydrocarbons, that's really not that great for the air.
Oh, that's a great point. I appreciate you bringing that up, because forest management is something that I'm just starting to understand looking at Australia. Here in Alberta, where I am, we had huge raging forest fires in northern Alberta. BC has every year huge forest fires that break out, and this has to do with forest management. So talking about fire itself, I mean, used correctly, well-managed, it's a life-sustaining item. Out of control, not managed correctly, you end up in a very dangerous situation. And I would say the same for people who move radically to get us off stable energy grids. When we don't have enough dispatchable energy, or we cut off natural gas supply, for example, and we create grid issues, this starts to impact our health and our survival. And in cold climate or very, very hot season, we need to be more thoughtful about policy that impacts quality of life. And I do believe not handling energy grid and talking about reliable energy sources and having responsible public policy around these things is harmful if we don't handle these things correctly. So I agree.
Well, and I don't think that we really realize, and I want to go to break, Ann Jordan, a founder of Nurses for Sustainable Care. And when we come back, just talk about products that are in the operating room that we would not have all these successful surgeries if we didn't have them. And this show is our Health and Hydrocarbon Show. It's brought to you by Caris Oil and Gas and Laramie Energy. And before we go to break, I also wanted to mention Castlegate Knife and Tool. Great entrepreneurs, Hal and Linnea Van Herke. They have knives from the best blade makers from throughout the world. And so whether or not you are a chef or a collector or a sportsman, Castlegate Knife and Tool is the place for you. They're located in Sedalia, Colorado. They've got a great website. Be sure and check that out. That's castlegate.com. Castlegate.com. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation with Ann Jordan.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support us. On the line with us is Ann Jordan. She lives up in Alberta. She is the founder of Nurses for Sustainable Care. And this has been a journey for you to get to this point, to just understand the importance of fossil fuels in the operating room. And I do want to say thank you to Caris Oil and Gas and Laramie Energy for their sponsorship of the show. But it's tell us a little bit about that journey, Anne.
I started, as always, having been a conservationist and trying to be really responsible. I would always wash my plastics and my tins and recycle, and I took that very seriously. And I, you know, living in a big city center, always understood that pollution and responsible handling and stewardship was a good thing to do. And in healthcare, and being a caregiver, and nurses are very caring about environment, and not just healthcare, but patients and their environment and lifestyle. And so I started to ask some questions, because in the hospital system, we had a huge amount of single-use plastics constantly, and the way we took care of equipment, the disposables that we had with medical supply alone, never mind, single-use plastics involved ventilation tubes, syringes, PPE, as we've seen for the last 2 years, which has just escalated, IV tubing. It was all around me. And there were a couple of projects that happened in my world where nursing students created an initiative trying to recycle some of the recyclable items, but none of that was sustainable. And so I started to ask these questions, started paying attention to conversation, and it brought me back to how could we do this if we weren't using these systems and we weren't using fossil fuels? How would we do things like pill coatings, capsules, medications like aspirin and cortisone, contact lenses, even the soap and the hand sanitizer? Everywhere in my world, everything I was surrounded by was fossil fuel dependent. And so I started to ask questions and started to do some reading and started trying to imagine innovation and research and development. Was it possible to have disposable equipment? Was it feasible? Was it cost effective? And I thought, nurses aren't really paying attention to this. We're in systems that were, you know, first world problem, but we have everything provided for us. Can we do this without these items? And I struggled to find a way to see another system that was possible and cost effective. And so, you know, I started having conversations with people, paying attention to the statistics and the energy grid, and talking about, can we use reusable equipment? It's not really possible. It's not safe to move to systems that aren't sterilizable. In the operating room, you have all of this equipment. You'll see it covered in plastic, because you can't actually change out swing arms and a lot of what you would use, even the operating table. You have to cover them, dispose of the covers, which you can't actually, even the seal from the tables. Like, I just couldn't see how it was feasible. Diagnostic and therapeutic equipment is made and powered by fossil fuels. I have not yet seen another system that's reliable and cost-effective for us to use. So I sit here in this place of asking to these are the companies, fossil fuel and oil energy companies, are the ones putting all the money back into research and development. So we do want to support that. Let them do their thing. Let them help us find better ways, if we're going to find, you know, better ways that we can use and options to use. So that's kind of where I sit. And I'm talking to other healthcare workers that are asking these questions as well.
Well, Anne, this is very simplistic on my part, but I was just thinking about the tubing that would be used for oxygen in the hospital. And, of course, there's been this big movement to get rid of plastic straws in everyday life. And I've been at different places where it's been replaced by like cardboard straws, and it's not as effective. They get soggy. It doesn't taste very good. And I guess personally we could get by with that, but you can't do that in the operating room. You can't use cardboard straws in the or tubing in the operating room.
Absolutely not. I love your example, because it's frustrating to me to get a paper straw. It certainly decreases the amount of drinking you want to do through that, because they don't last very long. They entirely disintegrate. In terms of, healthcare, with the last 2 years, we've seen that huge use on single-use plastics. We have nothing to replace that. I mean, they're developing some technology around biodegradable things, biodegradable items, because you have these very useful items that you what do you do with them afterwards? And that brings up the whole concept of pollution management, which is being conflated with using things like plastic bags, oxygen tubing, and disposable syringes, all the PPE, are there biodegradable things that we can use? We're not yet there. And even to consider developing those, you still need fossil fuels to go through any of the manufacturing of any of those items. So we're just not there yet.
Well, and a couple of things. Pollution management, I agree with you, is important. But what I see from a public policy standpoint, instead of unleashing creativity and innovation, many of the PBIs, I call them politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties, they like to have this narrative out there to try to tap down our fossil fuel industry. But even when I'm at the dental office, I take great comfort when I see that the exam room where I'm at, that there's plastic on different things. I know that there's not germs from the previous patient there. I take comfort in that. And so that has improved my life. There are trade-offs. We need to be responsible stewards of our world. But yet we also need to make sure that we are always working to enhance everyday people's lives. And so that's the real challenge here, Anne.
I absolutely agree. Microbial counts as high as 100 colony-forming units, even after 10 reprocessing cycles, is alarming, and it's hardly a risk-benefit win. And so when you're dealing with superbugs in general, you can't autoclave items. You have to use single-use plastics. You have to use disposable syringes. So many medical devices, as I mentioned earlier, have very movable, sophisticated parts that you can't clean adequately with traditional methods. So, to try to move rapidly, we're going to affect human life and quality of life. Cross-contamination, we have to be sensible about these things.
Well, and I was just thinking about this whole COVID-19 Wuhan, China virus narrative where government is saying we want to keep people safe. And of course, there's been all kinds of reactions to that. But yet over here, the single-use plastics are so important to keep things clean. And the other thing that I found so interesting is through this whole COVID-19 thing down here in the lower 49, we're the lower 48, we should say that, is there was a lot of single-use plastics as well as we were trying to initially understand this whole COVID-19 thing and the virus on that. And people took great comfort in single-use plastics even there, Ann Jordan.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you also have to consider the things like transport. You have to talk about the electricity to run things like autoclaving. Repackaging all of these sterile equipment and supplies, reprocessing of any of these items. So modern disposable plastics have actually saved millions of lives annually. And this is well before, the last 2 years. And so the current public health situation is just a shining example. If the fossil fuel, energy sector thought leaders want to use brilliant examples, look at the whole healthcare system. We've doubled our use. We've tripled, if not quadrupled, our use of single-use plastics. And so this conversation is very important. Can we go to reusable? Can we move off stable, reliable energy grids? We're just not there yet. And I think healthcare is the one area that you can really indisputably demonstrate that with hundreds of examples. And I think not just the hospital healthcare system workers. You're talking about the entire world is very caught up being in some kind of sterilized world at a medical clinic, and everybody's a medical expert now. But these are great conversations to have right now to illustrate such examples.
Well, and Ann Jordan, I want to say thank you to Ramey Johnson, who introduced us. Okay. And we were doing a pre-call with this, and you asked the question that really has to be asked, and that is those that are advocating for getting rid of fossil fuels, particularly as we look at the benefits of hydrocarbons in the operating room, what is the alternative? You've asked that question, and are you getting any answers on that?
I do find it interesting talking about reusables and the biodegradable plastics that they want to talk about and a number of these items. I also do want to bring up an extra point to that conversation we started with, is if you can keep people out of the hospital in the first place and you spend a little more effort in preventative items and move to clinics and all of the preventative things you can do at home yourself, I think that's a big part of reducing impacts in these very energy intensive environments like big city center hospitals, these big facilities that use up so much energy. So looking at other options, finding other means, that is a very important conversation, not just for healthcare, but also people talking about alternative use of energy and other systems. You can't just go and throw that into a very intensive situation like the OR suite. You can talk about, can we do something else here at home outside of before you're in this very life-dependent situation? So okay. Important questions.
Most definitely. And I do want to say, though, the miracles, and I mentioned that in the promo, of new hips, new knees, that enhances people's lives. And I've seen so many people that have regained mobility with that. And we've got 15 seconds left. How can people get more information about the work that you're doing?
Oh, thank you for asking that. Ann.Jordan, A-N-N-E.Jordan, at nursesforsustainablecare.com is the first reach out. We haven't launched our website yet. That's in the middle of development right now. And so they can just contact me directly by email, and I'm always available that way.
Ann Jordan, thank you so much for helping us think through this subject on a little bit different way. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me today.
And again, thank you to Laramie Energy and Caris Oil and Gas for their sponsorship of this show. Our quote for today is H.L. Mencken. He said, "The urge to save humanity is almost always a false front for the urge to rule." So my friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.